beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoyeth the Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank the Lord this morning for this opportunity. I want to thank the Church of God. We know we are going through hard times this season, but we trust God that God will see us through.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to appreciate my father, Pastor Sheyi Osunibi, and mommy. I want to appreciate them for this opportunity. I want to thank Pastor Bilu. I know you are watching me where you are. Father Ogi must be somewhere there in Shagari. And I know others like Pastor Dansu may be watching from Japan. I thank God for what he's doing. And God is doing great things. We are not discouraged. Things may not be the way we expect, but we are not discouraged. We forge on and we move on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until it is time, it is not yet time. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I am not a guest, as it were. I want to say hi to my brethren in Ikusha Church. I bring greetings from the brethren in Ikusha Church. They are wonderful people, and we thank the Lord for them. Let's just have a short word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, because your word is yea and amen. Your words don't fall to the ground. Thank you because when you send your word, it achieves the purpose for which you have sent it. It will not return to you empty. We thank you, Father, that these words will touch us, will touch our hearts, and will find grace, Lord, to walk on them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Use my tongue this morning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I won't be talking apart from what the theme that we've been talking about, which is warfare. I still want to follow that line and continue. And just not continue, just branch out from some of the thoughts that Pastor has been sharing in recent times. I'm going to be talking on warfare in ordinary things, because there's an understanding of our warfare that we must understand and know that for the mere fact that we are alive is warfare, and for the mere fact that you are even a believer, it's now double warfare. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And how do we, if we do not understand this, we will accord a lot of things to science, a lot of things to coincidence, and the devil will cheat us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there's a need to understand all of this. Our regular text that we have been using, Ephesians 6 from verse 10, that we have used, we still read Ephesians 6 from verse 10. It says a final word, be strong in the Lord's mighty power, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Also, Isaiah 59, verse 17, is another scripture I want us to open to. Isaiah 59, verse 17. Hallelujah. I'll read from here. Isaiah 59, verse 17 says, He put on righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with the robes of vengeance and godly fury. And like we have heard Pastor say, that this armor we are talking about is not what God has not used. It is what he uses. It is what he goes to war with. It was only Saul that was going to give David an armor that David had not used. And David said, no, this thing is too heavy. I can't even move. Hallelujah. But our God is not like that. God does not put you through things that he has not, he doesn't give you an armor that he has not tested. So if God puts on the breastplate of righteousness when he goes to war, if God himself has to put on an helmet of salvation, then it only tells us that you can't do otherwise. You can't go short of that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we together in all the churches?
Yes.
All right. The truth is that until you have fought your battles, you cannot fight the battle of the Lord. We have a pattern in David. David did not he didn't begin to go to war until God had anointed him king as at the age of 17. But God did not allow him enter kingship until he was 30. So he had a space of about 13 years to train. And while he had entered into discord with Saul and all that, we saw him raiding and going places, raiding, towns and cities and all that. And all that, he was doing all that in preparation for what God will, have him do later as king. And I think God allowed that to be for a purpose. It was only Saul. Saul was not a warrior. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Saul was not a warrior. Saul was just going about looking for his father's donkeys when Samuel, picked up on him and he became king. And the day he was even going to be anointed, he went to hide somewhere. And they had to go look for him to bring him out. So you look at the kingship of David and you look at the kingship of Saul and you realize that there were differences in the way they were anointed, from where they were brought from. God brought David from, where he was tending sheep. One, he had a pastoral heart, and before he was even made king, he had fought battles. God allowed him to fight battles. Hallelujah. And that pattern was not only in David. That pattern was also in the Lord Jesus. The devil took him to a high mountain in Matthew chapter 4, told him to turn stones to bread and all that. God created that avenue, but it wasn't God tempting him. But God led him to be tempted. And then we saw that all those things Jesus went through, they were preparations for the final proof. God allowed him. There were battles he fought. Everything he went through with the Pharisees, all that that happened, God allowed all that to happen in a bid to prepare him for where he was going to. So you cannot, I don't know how you fight the Lord's battle when you have not gone through your own battles, when you've not been tested, when you've not been proved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope we are together on this.
Yes.
The Lord needs to prove you. The Lord needs to know that he has somebody who is not a coward, who is not afraid, and then God can begin to place greater responsibilities into your hand. I can't imagine you wanting to pray for the universal church when you have not prayed for the church in your house. You want to go to great lengths to win souls for the Lord. You want to go to places, you want to go to the nations of the earth, and yet you have not started from your house. You know, remember what Jesus told his disciples when he was leaving in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you will be my witnesses first where? In Jerusalem. You will start from home. Then I will begin to send you to the corners of the earth. Hallelujah. So if we don't start from home, if you don't take our environment, if you cannot stabilize your atmosphere, you cannot take control of your immediate places of concern, immediate matters of concern, you cannot secure your space, I wonder what space you go out there to secure. And like Archbishop Benson also said, that if you are a lizard in Nigeria, if you go to America, you don't become an alligator. You still go there. It is what you are here that you go to prove there. Whatever you don't have, you cannot what? You cannot give. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we must understand this, that the things you go through, the troubles, the problems you go through, the devil fights us on different planes. But the devil knows that if he's able to hold you down, you can't be useful for God. You can't do kingdom warfare if the devil succeeds at hacking you down. If the devil succeeds at holding you, so he's going to fight us on planes. He's going to fight us at levels that we must understand. As a matter of fact, we may actually be in warfare and we will not know it. And so an understanding of this is very, very important. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul was praying for the church. Can we quickly check? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and make your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Paul was praying for a preservation of the spirit, soul, and bodies of these people in that church. And that, it's not only for them, it's also for us. It means that these three components of us is very, very important, that God has to keep them blameless. Please note very well, it's not only the soul that Paul prayed that God will keep blameless. It's not only the body that Paul prayed to keep blameless. He also asks that God will keep our spirits blameless. It is that serious. And this shows to me that if the devil is going to fight anybody, he'll fight us. The devil is going to fight us on these three planes. He'll fight us in the spirit. He'll fight us in the realm of our soul. He'll fight us in the realm of our bodies. And all troubles, all pains we go through are on all of these three planes. The devil will set out to fight this. I am not, because of time, I have limited time. We are not going into specifics of, you know, these three areas of warfare, because we seem to overlook some of these things, and they are very serious. So we are not going to look in all of these three areas, but I just want to do a general talk on all of this, because like I said, this understanding is crucial. The devil may be fighting you and you may never know it. And there's one thing he's after. He doesn't want you to be in tandem with God. He doesn't want you to be in accord with God. And so he's going to fight. And that is him. Whether he's fighting in the spirit realm, whether he's fighting us in the soul realm, whether he's fighting us in the physical realm, there's just one thing. He wants to turn you into an enemy of God. Because he knows that once you're an enemy of God, you have lost it. You won't be useful to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you will not get God. You will not find God's favor. And that's what he does. In Revelation, Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, who accuses our brothers before God. He says he accuses them day and night. That is real. And that is serious. I know in heaven, there is no day, there is no night. It is here that there is day and night, and that is literal. It means he does his job day in and what and day out. And what he wants to do is he wants you to fall out of favor with God. He is after you not being able to fulfill your destiny in God. He's after you not being able to enter into your inheritance in God. He's after you not being able to even understand who you are in God and what God wants to make of your life. And it's important because as much as I'm not somebody, I've seen people who, if they see cockroaches in their houses, they say the enemies have come again. Especially when the cockroaches are three in number. Mm-hmm. They are carrying anointing oil and doing all that. In as much as I don't belong to that school of thought, I also believe that the devil is behind so many things that happen in this world that we live in. We may not be conscious of it, and sometimes we may choose not to be conscious of it, but the devil is having a field day in so many areas because we are called a lot of things to coincidence and to science. Many times, anything science cannot prove, they say it doesn't exist. And like I was on a group, we were talking on this conspiracy thing about 5G and coronavirus, and I made a statement there. I said every technology comes with a price. And then the fact that they have not even found that certain radio frequencies have health effects. It's possible that they've not been able to develop instruments that can detect those levels of, you know, radiation and all that. And I said the fact that we have not seen something with our eyes does not mean that it doesn't exist. And I said it in the group. I said, for example, witchcraft. I said, science has not proved it. But does it exist? Somebody can come and say it doesn't, but you and I know that it does exist. It's not everything that lives in the realm of, in the empirical realm, that you can prove by known physical methods and means. Hallelujah. There are many things we cannot explain by physical standards, but they do exist. For example, look at the first warfare that happened in the realm of men after creation, that happened on the earth. That warfare happened without any bow, without any arrow, without anything. And you know where it happened? In Genesis chapter 3. Some individual called Lucifer, the devil, took up the form of a serpent and began to converse. Did that sound like a warfare? But it was. Somebody wanted to wrestle out somebody wanted to wrestle out the other party out of his dominion. And he came in subtlety. Hallelujah. So you understand that the warfare is going to be a very serious one. He came softly and began to discuss with them. And it was at a discussion table that the battle was won and lost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So at a discussion table. And funny enough, the woman that was being discussed with, I believe, did not even have an idea of who she was dealing with. And how do I know? After the devil was able to deceive the woman, of course we know the man was not deceived. But we know the woman was deceived. The woman gave her husband the fruit and ate, and the whole everything happened, the tree sin and everything happened. And when God came asking, God asked the man. The man said, it was the woman you gave me. God asked the woman. The woman said, it was a serpent that beguiled me. And what? I did it. I don't know. Maybe they had no idea that there was anything called devil. But remember, the woman still said it was a serpent that beguiled me. But there was something behind the serpent. It wasn't just a serpent. And they lost it. Do you know how many warfares we have also lost in very simple ways like that?
and we do not understand. You wake up some one day, get to the office, and somebody who is a boss or somebody just begins to you know, show attitudes for no reason. You get frustrated, sometimes from colleagues, sometimes from things, and you don't know that sometimes these are battles that are being waged against you. And many times, rather than us, you know, looking inward and checking out some of these things, we leave them to chance and to coincidence. We leave some of these things to, maybe it's just happening. You know, we say things like it is part of life. Sometimes you don't know that actually the devil is building bulwarks and trying to siege you in. And yet we do not understand. In that Luke chapter 20, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they brought that coin, and they were asking him, should they pay taxes to Caesar? That sounded like every ordinary question. But actually, if you look at it, there were spirits behind that question. And it took somebody in the stature and in the person of Jesus to identify that this was not. How do we know that question was from the pit of hell? The Bible says after that time, he didn't come back with any question. If you look at that, that looked like the same thing that happened when Jesus was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says the devil left him for a while, because at that time it was game over for a while. It was as if his wisdom at that time had been exhausted. So he had to go back in a way to go conjure some other things to bring. Praise God. The same way he was silent was the same way the Pharisees were also silent when they came with that question. They also came with the question of marriage. And they say somebody died having had a wife, and you know, six of his brothers also married the same woman, and all of them died. They say in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus had to bring a wisdom that had not existed anywhere. That doctrine had not existed. That in the regeneration, they don't marry and you don't give in marriage. Jesus brought that. That was the first time that kind of revelation was existing. So what makes you think that some of the questions you are asked and some of the things you go through, what makes you think that the answer to those questions is wisdom from above? What makes you think the answer to some of those questions is not even from your experience? There are times you may have to give answers to questions and people will open their mouths. The answer does not lie in any history book. It doesn't lie in any physics textbook or any mathematics textbook or in the Iwe-Awon-Agba, like somebody will say. It doesn't lie in the wisdom of elders. It's direct from the Spirit of God. You find out that when such answers go forth, demons are silent. Hallelujah. So we don't have to be laid back and wait until certain things, you know, hedge us in, and you know, the devil comes and claims our children and claims the things around us, and we do not know. As Christians, we must not be boxed into a corner to believe. Sometimes we want to think like the people of the world. When they say the devil is somewhere, people say, they have come again, they have come again. Is it not ordinary? I teach physics. And you must understand that when we even go, there are equations that people brought from somewhere. They brought them up, they brought them and landed them down. And those equations are working. How they derive them still remains a mystery. And you are telling me that the spirit realm is not very real. It is very, very real. And we must understand some of these truths and allow the Lord to lead us. Hallelujah. Look at Daniel's case. Let us look at Daniel's case in Daniel chapter 1. Because you really do not know that in the very ordinary things, in the marketplace, check even businesses. Do you know that even some trades have devils that they are dedicated to? Go and check. people who do, who are hunters in some Yoruba families, people who are even blacksmiths, they are idols they worship. Oh, we don't know that. It's true. Family businesses are dedicated to certain idols and certain deities. You think it's an ordinary business. It's not. Look at association. Even association of kerosene sellers. You'll be surprised that when you go against them or when you don't join the association, they come and bewitch you. I've had things like that before. They come bewitch you. You know, you are doing certain business and the business is growing to an extent and certain people in that line of business come to meet you and say, you can't just come into this line of business until you have met the gatekeepers. And then you think that is ordinary. Many businesses have gone down. Many things have run. See, the bottom line is that certain spirits rule this world. And you must know. We can only thank the Lord that He gives us victory all the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that the devil comes 10 times, we are going to beat him 10 times.
Amen.
Because Jesus won the victory for us.
Hallelujah.
But Paul now wrote to us, he said, we should not, we are not ignorant of his what? Of his devices. Because if you are ignorant of his devices, he can play tricks on you. He can cheat you. Even on your turf. Understand that he has no boundaries. He's lawless. He has no boundaries. If he could make war in heaven, where do you think he cannot enter and make war? You think he cannot enter into your house and make war? This guy went to heaven and made war. This guy went to heaven and stood against Job, stood against Joshua, went to God's throne and asked for Peter. You think he cannot ask for you? He can. So when I see people just say, no, we just believe the Lord. We are. No. He doesn't give up. He keeps trying and he keeps coming back. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you may be in warfare and you may not know. But this in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, he said, a man that is in honor and does not know it. He says, it's like the beast of the field. So if a man can be in honor and not know it, it means a man can be in warfare and he will not understand that this is what is being built against you. Hallelujah. We can lose so much ground. We can lose so much peace because we do not understand some of these things. But we thank the Lord that always gives us victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, can we take a look at that scripture? Because that's our hope. That's what we believe in. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. It says here, how we thank God who gives us victory over what? Sin and death through Jesus Christ our what? Our Lord. So we have victory over sin and over death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at what happened in Daniel chapter 1 about Daniel's case. Nebuchadnezzar had asked that young boys should be brought. He needed to appoint them as advisors. And he asked that certain young men be brought, you know, who they could teach in the language of the Chaldeans and who were fit to stand in the king's presence. People who were handsome, ruddy, who understood science and all that. And Hebrew boys, they were boys in the, you know, in the beginning, were selected. And about four of them came up and said, no, we will not defile ourselves with the king's meat. That declaration by them sparked a warfare. If you read that chapter, you do not know that there was something going on. It sparked a warfare right there and then. So, you know, what we don't even realize, and I think this also, our lack of this understanding can weaken the way we even interact with angels. Because if you do not understand these things, if you don't understand that you are in warfare, how do you want to understand that certain people are for you? Paul wrote in the Romans chapter, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if you do not understand that God is for you, then the whole world can be against you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The whole world can be against you. When the Arameans came against Elisha, and that young man, that servant was afraid, Elisha prayed and asked that God would open his eyes. And by the time they looked, right across the mountain behind, round about the prophet, there was a host. Listen to me. If we had a host of angels around that man, be sure that that army that came against him must have been marshalled by devils. Are we together?
Yes.
They must have been marshalled by devils. I don't think all that host came because of... You don't need all that host to deal with a million army of ordinary men. You remember one angel came in the days of Sennacherib and took out 186,000 soldiers. So, it's not... So, but for you to have a host, he didn't just have one, two. He had a host. Listen to me. It means that that army that came against Elisha was not just an army of men. They were under control of certain beings. And the prophet knew that. But that young man didn't know. All the young man saw was an army of soldiers. But behind the army of soldiers was something deeper than that. So you now realize that all the battles that Israel fought in the wilderness, the Amalekites and all that, they were not battles. The earth was only a battleground for physical execution. If you really look at it, it was a battle. In the days of Deborah, the Bible says that angels, stars, fought in their constellation. They weren't just fighting men. Men are puny flesh. You don't need more than one angel to clear an army of men. But when such men come against you, when those nations come against you, remember they also have gods they worship. They have idols that they are committed to, that they give sacrifices. And those beings can actually push them and marshal them against the army of God. And so when Daniel said, "We will not eat," you go and try to eat vegetable and water for 10 days. Go and try it. I don't know if we have any vegetarian listening to me, but I don't think I've come across anyone. But I know that as a vegetarian self, you are likely not to have energy because your diet, I don't know how balanced that diet is. Those guys, other guys, were eating everything. They would eat pork, eat everything. Their diet was balanced, okay? Apart from the fact that the food had been offered to idols, they were eating correct diet. But this young man said, "Try us for 10 days. Give us only vegetable and what? And water." And Bible says in 10 days, they were better. Listen to me. It wasn't just the vegetable and water that made them better. God was involved. I think we need to understand that. God was involved. If you eat vegetable and water, and somebody is eating all the paparazzi, and everything, all the pizzas and everything, and you are telling me that in 10 days somebody who was eating vegetable and water was better than somebody eating everything, I think that is not ordinary. Are we together?
Yes.
That's not ordinary. It means that God was backing up the vegetable and water because God wanted to prove a point.
Yes.
So if God was involved with vegetable and water, it simply means that it was a battle. It was a warfare. Just because a group of young men made up their mind not to eat food that had been offered to idols. So, our decisions can also spark warfare. Your decision not to involve in the decadence, in the acts that characterize your workplace or characterize wherever you find yourself in school can spark up a warfare. And you will not know. Of course, nobody was using knife or anything to choke them, Daniel, but we knew. If God could so much back up vegetable and water, it tells me that Satan was, those other guys that were eating that thing, Satan was involved. Satan wanted to make sure that that seed was corrupted. Look at the case of Abraham too. These are cases I'm bringing out of everyday things that happen and we do not understand that we are at war. Abraham went into, you know, the land of the Philistines, and Abimelech took Sarah. And somewhere, somehow, he thought that was ordinary. It took God to visit that man at night and say, if you try it, you are a dead man. And you know, God was preparing a womb to bring forth an Isaac. But Satan was intentionally going to corrupt it. But it was playing out like everyday life.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? No big deal. A man sees a woman. Imagine a woman in, I think she was already in, Abraham left home at 75. Sarah must have been in her 70s or so. And they said the woman was still beautiful. And the man was not afraid. So a woman as beautiful as that at around 70 years of age or thereabout, and you still want to take her for a wife, you know, fear. That what kind of mommy water is this one? At this age, or maybe he was not told her age. But he still wanted to take her. But it was a battle going on at that time. It was warfare. Because if any other seed had been planted in Sarah for any reason, that plan would have scattered immediately on the spot. Remember why was it only, it wasn't only Abimelech. Even Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was going to do the same thing. You see the hand of the devil behind all of those moves. But of course, you never saw that they mentioned devil anywhere in that place. But when you look at it, you see that the devil was going to do certain things to thwart what God was doing. And it took God to come on the scene and do. So when you see God show up and also fight for you, it's not because there's nothing better for him to do. It's because there must have been an army that has come against you. And God decides to stand for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This fact is very, very important. And you must know it. I think a brother was sharing with me how, you know, he was in the banking hall and kept money on the table. He was working in the bank, kept money on the table, and before he showed up, somebody took the money. Money running to about 900,000. A fellow member of staff hid the money, and the brother had troubled himself running around looking for the money here and there, and they didn't talk. And suddenly, after some time, somebody comes up and says, you know, I've always been telling you in this place that I'm going to deal with you. The person brings out the money. You don't think that is workplace witchcraft? And the person meant it. The person wasn't joking. The person meant it. So Satan can bring this thing to the realm of the physical for you. And sometimes we are not mindful. The last time I went with Damiloju, we went to repair my car. When we were coming, somebody just packed us down. A military guy. He said I drove anyhow for him and just blocked me at Arakale. Imagine Arakale, as busy as Arakale was, blocked me and came down with Koboko. I was going to flog me. I know on the spot I had to apologize. I immediately apologized. He went back into his car and drove off. As ordinary as that may seem, if I had resisted, do you know what that would have led to that day? Even if I succeeded at fighting my way through, I would have been delayed. I'm sure one Koboko at least would have landed on my body. And sometimes we really don't know that Satan can marshal things against you. People you don't even know can pick up with you because the devil is angry. And he's just wondering, why should this guy still be walking the earth? He should have died. Hallelujah. So, how does this concern us today? And how do we identify some of these things? Because some people are also on the extreme. Everything that happens is devil. Like I said, when they see three cockroaches enter their room, some people cannot stand wall gecko. They say it has one spirit. Some people even think that the geckos come and scratch them with their nails. Whereas it's you, while you were sleeping, you use your own nail to scratch yourself. So when they wake up in the morning and see scratch marks on their body, they say it is not any gecko. They've been so given to fear, so they become so afraid. They've been locked down by their fear. Even their prayer lives and everything is based on fear. They are always suspecting everybody and suspecting everything that comes around them. We don't fight our battles from suspicion. We don't fight our battles from fear. We fight our battles from victory. Hallelujah. Even when we are not thinking about it, somewhere, somehow, we pick some of these things up. And even at times when we are not picking it up, these angels step into battle and they fight, even without us knowing it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It means that there's a position we have to take. Amen.
Amen.
There's a position we have to take. And that's why Ephesians 6 was telling us that we should take up the armor of God. It's a position that we have to take. If you're in that position, you are secure. If you're in that position, your senses come into operation. I remember during my final year in school, I think it was my final year, I was just sleeping in my room, and suddenly I was in a trance, and my room was the same way my room was. My table was where it was, my computer was where it was, my bed was where it was. I was sleeping as I was. And there was this being, I can't describe what I saw. It looked like a human being or something. I don't know, sat down at my table and was asking, and I was saying it was hungry. In fact, he said he wanted to soak Gary. And in that dream, I didn't allow the thing go cold though. I drove it out straight. Somehow I just knew this being is not a friend. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can't settle in my apartment. You can't settle in my life. You can't. And you know, many things like that we go through, and God gives us grace. Sometimes we are conscious, we pick it up, and sometimes we don't. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8, Paul was admonishing us to be sober and to be vigilant. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. He was telling us that, let's read from verse 7. He said, night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our word of our salvation. It means that there's a position we have to take. It says we are people who live in the light. We do not live in the dark. We are not people who get drunk and forget ourselves and forget our lives. It says we should be sober and should be vigilant. Have you seen a man who is drunk? He can't be sober. He can't be sober, because if he just killed somebody, he would tell the whole world now that he just killed somebody. You know what? Alcohol is working. At that point, the man is gingered. He is excited. Hallelujah. He is overly excited. But he says, let us be sober. Let us be grave. Sometimes we lose our heads as believers. That gravity is not there. That soberness. If you are not sober, you cannot be vigilant. So let us be sober. Let us be vigilant. Let us live our lives as though this world is going to pass away. Paul said that those of us who are using this world, we should use it as things that are going to pass away. Sometimes we take this world as though, you know, we hold on to it. We don't have to hold on to it. We should know that there's nothing we are taking away from this world. And as such, we believers should live our lives like that. He says we should take on the body armor of faith and of love. And we should wear the helmet of what? Of salvation. The Bible talks about some people who have forgotten that they were once purged from their sins. I think such people have taken off their helmet. Don't take it off at any time. Don't say for this period, you know, like one sister told us that spiritual people should understand why she was doing certain dance moves, and that she needed it at that time. And, you know, for some minutes you go party with the devil, and then you come back again. You know, you take off your helmet and quickly go and do some partying, and then you come back and put on your helmet again. See, any arrow can hit you within that time. Anything can hit you within that time. People who do that have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten that they were once purged. And for just a short time, you borrow your life from the Lord, go and use it and bring it back. That's not the way believers should go. Another thing which that comes to mind is that we should have no part with demons. We have to be very, very careful to desist from acts, desist from things that can, you know, make us have, you know, a part with demons. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. Paul was admonishing that church when he was talking about food offered to idols, that we should not have a part with devils. I've seen people who are falling sick, and because, you know, and all that, their families carry them and take them to places where they go to take care of them. And see, and there's nothing these spirits give to you that you don't pay back. You enter into an agreement with them. And that's what we don't know. I will find Christians who, when problem comes to them, they don't take time to pray. They don't take time. They don't have a heart that can say, I am staying with God and I'm staying with God alone. You know, I have a colleague who believes that every Tom, Dick and Harry that talks to him on the street is God sending them to him. And I've tried to correct him a number of times. You see, God can send anybody. God can, you know, he was going on the street and somebody stopped him and told him something. And what that person told him was real. It happened. I said, see, it is not God that sends everybody. People talk with you with soothsaying and with divination, and you don't know it. And once they tell you some of these things, you agree, your heart agrees with them. You are entering into a familiarity with them. And so we should stay away from things that can encourage all of this. You know, things we eat, the things we watch, the kind of people we relate with. We must be very, very careful. So some believers still go back and do the things they do in their idol worshipping families. We must be careful of all these things, so that these things don't open the door for the enemy to come fight us. We should not have a part with demons. And when we talk about principalities, let us tell ourselves the truth. They have no way over any society. Let me tell you, demons are plenty. There's enough to go around the human population of the world, even in the next 100 years. John, in his visions in Revelation, said he saw angels, you know, around the throne of God, and he gave their number. He said he saw thousands. He said he saw thousands of one very, very, I'm sure, I know he couldn't quantify it, but he gave one very, very large, ridiculous number. So if we have that, one third of that is what the devil has in his care. And there's enough to go around. You can have a demon for one human being. You can have a demon for one leaf, one plant. You can have a demon for every... You can have demons for every business there is. You can have... So that tells you how much they are around. And listen, if you say it's a lie, they don't exist. The people that are being afflicted by these spirits, they know what they are going through. It may be lying wonders and all that, but they know what they are going through, and they can tell you. And when some of these people tell you the things they go through in the hands of some of these spirits, and they have to come for deliverance and all that, I am telling you, it's not a good pill to swallow. So why open your doors to them? Why open your, you know, if works of heart have carried demons, people's belongings, people go to the market and buy works of heart, bring it to their houses, and demons are invited, all kinds of things. Let us stay basically in the word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't let us forget the place of our prayers. The seventh, you know, component of the armor of God that Paul put there was prayers. He said we should pray at all times. And that's one way not to lose our guts. We must pray at all times. We must not be tired of praying. We must pray at all times. We must find a way to put God in our consciousness at every point in time. Let us also stay in fellowship. It's a very good place. When you see the way lions kill other animals, like buffaloes and all that, they scare them and they look for one that leaves the fold. When you leave the fold, you expose yourself to. When we watch out for each other's back, you remember that armor, there's no armor for the back. It means that as you face the enemy, who are those watching your back? Your brethren are the ones watching your back. There's no armor for the back. Check. It means that you should not, and then as brethren, it means we must trust ourselves. We must trust ourselves. If you tell me things about you, you should be able to trust me. That I will not go out there and betray you and share your, you know, people have been wounded, people have been betrayed by church folks. There's no armor for the back. It means that you shouldn't stab me at the back. And whoever is also in front of me, I shouldn't also stab the person. And if in any case I have any reason to turn my back to the enemy, my brothers should be able to see what is happening and cover me up. So if you now leave the fold and go, it means there's nobody to watch your back. There's nobody to watch your back. You are exposed. So it doesn't matter. You can have the breastplate of righteousness, have salvation as your helmet. You can have everything intact. But when you leave the fold, my brother, my sister, you are exposed. There's nobody to watch your back. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Two more things as I close. One thing I know that devils also hang around is they hang around prophecies. Anything that has been declared. See, the devil is not know-it-all. He's not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. But when we say things and declare it, of course he knows that something has been said. And he can stand there to want to withstand it. So when Paul was now writing that issue, to Timothy that I should make carry out a good warfare by prophecies that have gone ahead of you. We must learn to handle prophecies. We can't go deep into that now, but just keep it and work on it as the Holy Ghost will help you. You must learn to handle those things. You know, imagine when Nehemiah was before the king, and was it Nehemiah? Yeah, it was Nehemiah when he was going to go build the wall. He had to go on a fast for 3 days or so before he went to the king. In fact, it was even the king that now noticed in his face and said, Nehemiah, you are not happy. What's wrong? And Nehemiah placed before him. As simple as that was warfare, because the devil will not want that wall to be what? To be built. And you can be surprised that devils can hang around meaningless things. They can hang around your job, they can hang around your examination, they can hang around things, because that's not their aim. Their aim is after something else. There's something Jerusalem, you know, represents in the agenda of God. And the devil will not want that to be done. And Nehemiah had to go fasting. Esther had to go fasting to deal with certain things. So when we are confronted with situations, what do we also do? Do we undo these things from the standpoint of prayer? Or do we try to use our sense? Do we try to use our experience? Do we try to use, connections? Do we go on our knees and at least bring some of these things before God? Because there may be a contention. And only praying, only assessing the throne of God can dispel some of these things. The leading of the Spirit is also important. When Jesus was telling us that when somebody slaps your right cheek, you should turn the left. When he was saying, if they take your shirt, also give them your suit. If they take your suit, give them your shirt. Now, Jesus was not asking us to do things that God does not do. He says, if you are able to do some of these things, he says you'll be called the children of the highest. Okay? Be called the children of the most high. It means that those are the things, nobody is as patient as God. He will do all kinds of things, call him all manner of names, blaspheme him, curse him. He will still be watching and waiting till when your cup is full. Hallelujah. So he wasn't telling us to do things that he would not do, or things that God, those are God's core character traits. And that is how God has been able to deal with his age-long enemies. Hallelujah. So when he says that, it means that when he tells us to be slow to react, be quick to hear, but slow to speak, all these things are weapons in their eyes. Solomon was writing, he said, a soft answer. What does it do? He says it dispels rot. There are times when the enemy will come. The rot of who? He didn't say the rot of your God or anything. Even the rot of devils. It can come against you through a human being and all that. But by simply just giving a soft answer, do you know that you can disarm? You can disarm by staying within the laws of God and according to the leading of the Spirit. You can disarm devils. They can just calm down no matter what. Those things, as simple as they seem, they are weapons in their right. And we must be able to dig out these things in the Word of God. Patience, for example, is one. By patience, you can desecrate a horde of devils coming against you. Just by having patience. Just by having long suffering. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just by not reacting angrily. Just by not giving wrath for wrath. Just by not paying evil back for evil. You can break the arms of devils. Madiba came from prison, and when people thought he was going to declare war against the whites, he told them to forgive. You can't know what, by that singular act, you can't know what big warfare was won by that. These are the things that God lives by, and these are the things that we must also understand. And lastly, as I close, we must be a people who are able to, who understand the courts of heaven and how to approach the throne of God. You know, there are all manners of prayers. There are all kinds of prayers. Sometimes we are ignoramuses in that area. When you are supposed to come before God and make supplication, we are busy binding and loosing. We are applying the wrong approach. Hallelujah. There are times when we should actually command and declare. But there are times when that won't do it. You have to come to court and prove your case. Remember Daniel's prayer when he read from written scripture that Israel was to spend 70 years. He didn't start binding any spirits. He didn't start confessing. You know, sometimes we like confession gone. It wasn't just confessing that, God, I confess. It's 70 years. We are leaving Babylon in 70. No. He went before God, broke down, and began to confess sins, and began to bring scriptures to God, began to remind God of his covenant, remind God of the things he was doing. He was marshalling arguments. And by the time Gabriel came, I think it was Gabriel. When Gabriel came, Gabriel said, "You are a man that is loved of God." And Gabriel began to teach him and tell him that from this day, he began to pray, God had made a declaration. And began to tell him about the 70 weeks. And began to tell him about the 62 weeks. And began to explain things to him. That wasn't a confession thing. That wasn't a declaration thing. That wasn't a binding and casting thing. It was something he needed to know how to come to the throne. Because the strength of some of these spirits, principles, principalities, powers that we've been talking about, is the fact that they are holding on to certain things. And God is a just God. He's a God of justice. He gives justice. You will never find him. That's why when devil comes and accuses you, and you don't know how to approach the throne of God, he can win a case against you. Despite the fact that the blood had been shed and all that. And that's why it says, if we have fellowship with him, if he says, if we are, you know, there's a condition for the cleansing of our sin by the blood. He said, if we are what? If we are in the light, as he is where? In the light. He said, we have fellowship with him one with another. He said, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It means that if we are not in the light, it means that if we don't have fellowship, the devil can have his way with us. And God will have no choice because he's a just God. And listen to me, that scripture about the accuser of the brethren being cast down is still going to happen. It has not yet happened. There was a casting down they did to him. But right now, there were no brethren then. It is now we have brethren, and he's still accusing us before the throne. So we must be a people who understand how to bring arguments to God, how to come before the throne of God, and how to appear in court. If God gives us grace, we are going to look into some of these things, you know, in a deeper note. I just want us to pray and ask the Lord. I don't know, some of us may be going through things today. Some of us may be facing severe opposition. Listen, I have battles that I am fighting myself. Battles that I am fighting myself. I'm bringing arguments before the throne of God. I want to be separated from certain things. I want to, you know, there are certain family traits personally that I've noticed, and I'm by knowledge and everything, I am bringing before the. I have things I am coming against you. And I know you have things, you may have things that you are coming against. Some of these things you are not aware of, but really they are there. They exist there. And the enemy is holding on to certain things. Can we come before the throne of God and ask that all warfares will be brought to rest? He has given us victory. And from that victory, we make war. The Bible says in righteousness, he makes war. You know, Jesus said that who will not count, what king will not count, you know, the cost before he goes to war. Our God has already counted the cost before he entered into this battlefield. And so he knows the end from the beginning. He already gave us a victory. He knows that the end of all of this is victory. Can you bring all these things and these issues and matters before the throne and say that, Lord, I am victorious. I am victorious. I bask in the victory that you have wrought for me on the cross and in that grave. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You resurrected, you came from the grave, and by that singular act, every battle was won. In the name of Jesus, whatever resistance, whatever the devil is raising against me today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am more than conqueror. I live above it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can we pray for increased sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, that no demonic activity will survive around us? We will pick them and we will take them out. In the name of Jesus, we will be a people that demonic activities cannot survive around. In the name of Jesus, if an ulterior motive comes around, if a spirit, that a familiar spirit, whatever, you know, activities of devils happen around us, we will pick them, we will pick on it, and we will send it back to where it is. In the name of Jesus, we receive increased sensitivity. We are able to discern spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. We receive increased sensitivity in the name of the Lord Jesus. An atmosphere will be built around us that is inconducive for devils to operate in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We receive of your grace today. Let this word profit us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anybody that is undergoing demonic oppressions, anybody whose mind has been attacked, whose body has been attacked, whose mind has been attacked, who has thoughts running in their systems that is making them go against God, some people are going mad. They are going crazy because the devil has sowed certain thoughts in their heart, thoughts that nobody loves you, thoughts that God does not love you, thoughts of low self-esteem that have been planted in certain people's hearts, all in the bid to destroy them, destroy their lives, and destroy their destinies. I come against such thoughts today. I come against such machinations, such imaginations. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare that you are free from those thoughts. I declare that you are free from all those things that are followed from home, from family backgrounds. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the spirit of poverty and of lack, we come against you today in the life of anybody in the name of Jesus. Sicknesses and diseases, we come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anything inimical to our peace, we take a stand today and we fight you. from the victory of the cross. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Father.
Thank
you, we exalt you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.